Blog Talk Radio.
Tornado.
Hello?
Hey, folks, this is Rambo Rouse and Rich Bergeron.
Yo, it's the Tornado, Teddy Benicow.
We have a tightly packed show tonight. Sorry about being late again, but it should be smooth sailing since I have the ready broadband in effect for the evening. So, got a lot to talk about. Did you catch the Friday night fights this past week?
I saw the Saturday night fights. I'm trying to remember the Friday night. Was that the Miranda fight?
Yeah.
I saw the first fight on the card. I only saw part of the Miranda fight.
Man, Chalemba there. Isaac Chalemba hit him with the hell of them. And they kept getting warned for their heads clashing. And he just kind of dipped and dived and then came up head first, right with the top of the head to Miranda's cheek. And he was spitting out so much blood, it got all over the people at ringside, of course, including, the announcers there. So it was kind of funny. I tell you, he lost so much blood, Miranda. He's going to fight at welterweight next. He was at light heavyweight the other night. It was bad. And it happens when you headbutt people. But after that, he wasn't the same. And Chalemba just kind of walked away with the decision after that. But Miranda hung in there. Tough guy. Then the big boxing, the big MMA news, UFC 143, we had Carlos Condit versus Nick Diaz. Turned out to be a pretty controversial fight, to say the least. Now, there's been all kinds of reports saying there's going to be a rematch. Today, stories come out, no rematch. And actually, it's George St. Pierre who is supposed to fight the winner of this for the interim title, or for the permanent title. They have the interim title now. Condit wins by decision, and didn't really look too good at the beginning of the fight, but he did enough towards the end of the fight, mostly leg kicks, to win. So, of course, a lot of people wanted to see a rematch, but Condit has a chance to, have the solid title. And George St. Pierre wants to fight Diaz so bad, he's he'll give up the title. That's what it takes. So, I don't know. It's kind of crazy. And you add it to all this, after the fight, Diaz was trying to say he's going to retire from MMA. He's all done. Who knows what the hell is really going to happen. But if all goes well, we're going to be having a couple guests on tonight. Get a load of this guy's nickname. Dave the Pain Train Mazany. He's
eight and four.
He's from Anchorage, Alaska, which just sounds like a story in itself. He's coming on at 8:30. And we are still supposed to be having Mike Brown working on making sure of that as we speak. And I don't know. I don't know if I should be even opening the subject, but we had a big Super Bowl game this past weekend. And New England didn't do so well.
Well, the real tragedy of the Super Bowl was, first of all, I thought the safety was a bad call. And by it being a bad call, I had 7-0 in the block field, not 9-0. So that kind of cost me 200 hours right there. And then at the end, my mother would have won if the Giants kicked the extra point. My father would have won if they would have made the two-point conversion. They missed the two-point conversion. So my entire family got shut out of the Super Bowl winnings. So, yes, we are all very bitter.
Wow. I hate to say it, but, you know, Eli Manning is turning into the new Tom Brady.
No, I don't want to hear it. Eli Manning is garbage. You know, he's the master of the chuck and duck. He ducks his head, throws the ball up in the air, and God damn it, his receivers always make these unbelievable catches. And my cable's not working right now. It's pissing me off.
Uh-oh. What do you got to watch on cable?
Flyers game.
The Flyers?
Well,
is that Fight News Unlimited related material?
Yes, it is. Fight some hockey.
You should go down there and teach those Flyers a lesson in fighting. Yeah, I haven't really been following much other sports but football lately, so I don't know what the Celtics or the Bruins are doing.
Bruins, I think, are doing good. I don't know how the Celtics are doing. The Flyers or the Sixers have been doing good, which is a miracle of pop miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got my kid working, but it's only been working in 30-second bursts recently, and it's annoying me. And there it went out again, just as the goal was being scored.
I get rid of my technical difficulties, and you have yours.
Yeah.
They'll say Groundhog Day last week. 6 more weeks of winter.
I haven't started yet.
Punxsutawney Phil.
I knew a guy from Punxsutawney. I knew one person from the town of Punxsutawney who was an asshole.
You calling Punxsutawney Phil an asshole?
No, not the groundhog, but the guy that I knew from Punxsutawney.
Breaking news I'm seeing on SureDog. Diaz tests positive for marijuana after UFC 1 for the condom. Whoops. I guess that's why there's no rematch. That's not good. All right, well, let's just go over the whole card while we got it here. Get to that story. explain some of his rambling after the fight. As far as Saturday boxing, what did you watch on Saturday? Can you hear me? No.
Hurt? You have. Yo.
Oh, can you hear me now? Alright, sorry we cut you off there. We had a little issue. We're back. And unfortunately, we have to go right to our guest. But you were saying about the Saturday night fights before you got rudely cut off?
Yeah, the one fight between Nonito Donaire and Wilfredo Vasquez Jr. A good fight. It should not have been a split decision win for Donaire. Donaire won no less than 9 of those rounds. And he had a knockdown in the process. So he should have won a very comfortable decision there. Vasquez was tough. You know, he came and, you know, he fought hard. When the fight was over, they were taking Donaire's gloves off, and you could see him wincing from his left hand, which, as everybody knows, his big power punch. When they took his gloves off, his left hand was literally soaked in blood. So, I mean, I don't know. They weren't sure if he broke it or if he split it open. I mean, he had to do something to damage it because, I mean, the blood was like, I mean, he threw it with wrath, which was definitely a sight to see. The main event had Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. You know, he fought well, won a unanimous decision. He's always going to have the criticism, you know, because he is not his father. But, you know, he did the job. You know, he landed some good body shots. It was a good fight. So I don't know, how else to really say that. The one fight I did not get to see, but I did follow it live online earlier in the day, was from over in Germany, and it was the rematch between Jan Paulo Hernandez and Steve Cunningham, former guest of ours from Philadelphia. The first fight, Hernandez scored a knockdown early, had Cunningham hurt, and then Cunningham was coming back and was dominating the action when a clash of heads over Hernandez stopped the fight and went to the scorecard. And Hernandez won the decision, won the title. This was a forced rematch. So I followed it online, and Hernandez dropped him again. They hit hard in the fourth round. I mean, if Cunningham was hurt and went down twice, surprisingly, a lot of people said survived the round. He did mount a comeback. But, you know, over in Germany, where Hernandez has a lot of backing through his promotion, Cunningham was... You know, they said the blog I read had at 114-112 Hernandez, the strength of the two knockdowns, giving him the 2-point victory. The scorecards officially, I think, were 116-110.
Not bad. Well, too bad to hear about Cunningham. That's a lot of boxing. Anyway, we're going to get an MMA guy on. Dave Mezeny, the Pain Train.
Hello?
Yeah. Hello, Dave.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron. How's it going?
Good. I'm going to get somewhere. It's quiet. I'm going to jacket, actually.
Tony the Tornado Pentacal on the line tonight.
What's that?
We have Tony the Tornado on the line with us, too.
Tony the
who? Tony the Tornado.
Oh, Tony the Tornado. Awesome.
Joe, what's up?
What's going on, man?
How much?
How much?
Now, Dave, how did you first get involved in the mixed martial arts scene?
Honestly, for a while,
that
I was just a fan, you know. What's that?
Yeah, you're a fan?
Sorry. Yeah, I watched, you know, a bunch of, you know, UFCs when I was younger, and I got in the Pride when I was, like, in high school. And I mean, I didn't really start my MMA career until after I got done with college. I was a track and field guy, you know, and I wrestled, like, 1 year when I was a kid. But, you know, it's kind of like I was doing what everybody kind of wanted me to do. Like, hey, you go to school, play real sports, and do your thing. And then I get done with college, I'm like, what the hell am I going to do? Get a real job with benefits and stuff like that? Or... I just want to fight before I died, you know, like, so then I started training at Gracie Baja up in Anchorage, Alaska, and I took one fight, and then led to another one, and I don't know, I thought it was fun and more exciting than doing something normal, you know, so that's kind of basically how I got into it.
Right. And what is the situation, what's it like living up there in Anchorage?
In Anchorage, well, I mean, currently right now, I'm in Las Vegas, but starting my career in Anchorage. I was born and raised there. What's that?
Lucky you. I just got back from not too long ago. November, 2nd November. I was there for a few months.
Oh, what, Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Or?
Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah, that place is nice, man. But in Anchorage, Anchorage was like, you know, it's cold start during the winters, and summer, it's bright, and there's all kinds of stuff to do, so, I mean, you kind of endure the winter and live it up during the summers, basically, there. It was pretty tough. I mean, you really got to motivate yourself, you know, because I'd come back from work, I'd be dead tired, and I'd drink some caffeine of some sort and run to the gym and get, you know, some training done at night, and I'd go to bed and get up, work, and do my thing, you know, and then during the summers, it was tough, because you know, light all the time. We're fishing and hiking and doing all kinds of outdoor stuff and trying to get some training in at the same time. So, I mean, it's a big hustle and grind up there, but it's a different type of thing. But I noticed, like, with the fight scene up in Alaska, they have the Alaska Fighting Championships up there. And that was a good organization. I started out with it. You know, Terry Johnson runs that. You can find them on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. But we don't have, like, 100% the best, you know, training out there. Like, we don't have, like, the Vegas caliber training, but you got a lot of guys that are really, really tough. I mean, we got black belts in jiu-jitsu, good boxing coaches, and a little bit of Muay Thai, good wrestlers. But, like, people are just, you know, you got to endure the hard winter, you know, rugged summers, and, you know, you got tough fighters. So I think that was real good in my development, you know.
Wasn't there a kid on The Ultimate Fighter, Cody something, who loved the guillotine choke or something? Alaska.
Rice. Cody Rice is Cody McKenzie.
Yeah.
McKenzie. Right, yeah. The first time I actually met that guy, he was training at Vandalay's gym, where I'm training at right now in Las Vegas, yeah, that's the first time I met him. I didn't meet him, so I really know him. But, I believe he grew up
Dave, you're fading in and out.
Yeah, I can. Yep.
can you hear us? I think we missed the last of what you were saying.
Yeah.
In a bad spot.
Shoot, I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. You can hear
me. You're getting better?
Yeah.
Can you
hear me? Yep.
Okay. Be more about Cody.
Yeah, we missed about a minute. You're speaking. Different language.
In and out. Crap. Cody McKenzie. He was one of those guys that came from, the big fishing boats and had that tough, rugged lifestyle too. He definitely lived that last experience. And I actually first met him. I didn't meet him in Alaska or nothing, but I met him up in a. He sparred a few times at Van Lee Silva Gym where I'm at right now. And he's a good, lighthearted guy. I like him. He's pretty good, easy to get along with, and a nice guy. I think they're both laughed and loved. They work hard, and train hard too. So, but that's I haven't really gotten known too well. But he's training the mat with us. It's some good,
Yeah, I'm surprised all the time how many people that are big stars in the industry are actually pretty laid back, down to earth. If you actually talk to them.
Well, absolutely. I look at it this way with that. People that have a lot, don't have any ego. If you're good at something, you don't have any ego about it. You have nothing to prove. So, generally, they're pretty easy to get along with. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's my opinion on it. If you really think you're badass, you can beat a bunch of people up, you're not going to have to prove that. If a little kid walks up to you and says, I'm going to beat you up, you're going to beat up a little kid to prove that you can beat him up, right? You're going to say, ha-ha, and scoot him along the way,
Yeah.
So I look at it that way.
Sure. Now, Dave, you got a big fight coming up or anything like that?
I'm lined up to go back to Australia. I just won a middleweight title up there. Class has fought for Chaos Entertainment in Perth, Australia, and I won that middleweight title first from the Triangle Choke, and I'm going to go back in April, I think 24th, for them. Look them up, Chaos Entertainment in Perth, Australia. I should be fighting that, I think, as of now, it's a co-main event up there, so... Yeah, it's a big fight. I'd be all the way across the world again, but 30 hours of travel. it's going to be televised in English and Spanish and on international television and stuff. So it's a big fight. The last one was too. And so, it's going to be every fight's a big fight, but, it's getting up and up and getting better and better.
Yeah. So what's it like being able to see the world going to Australia for a fight?
What's it like dealing with Aussies over there?
Just going to Australia, seeing that as a fighter and all that, dealing different.
It's a really good experience. Honestly, I've been getting good at traveling for my fights because I haven't fought in my hometown in a really really long time. It's been a long time since I fought in my hometown. So, traveling for fights isn't a new experience. Now, traveling, 30 hours is pretty tough, it wasn't 30 hours. With layovers and everything. But luckily for this fight, I have to cut any weight. I'm, walking around about 185. So, normally I fight 155. So, while I was walking around 185, eating whatever I wanted. Not whatever, eating clean as much as I wanted. So the travel was great. But honestly, man, the Australians were great. They took me in really well. Even when I went out in the cage, instead of hearing boos, I heard a couple people clap. They obviously cheered the Australian more. But by the end of the fight, they all took me in as one of their own. They appreciated me. And, I heard a lot of compliments. Nobody said any nasty things to me like I have, in certain other places. But, the Australians were fantastic. Everybody... I love the sport of MMA, and it's starting to grow over there more and more. And people that were there, they loved it and appreciated, the what I appreciated appreciate me being there, you know, or any fighter being there, you know, because they know, they understand the, they weren't, like, booing, because my fight was on the ground, a lot of it, and they weren't booing, you know, when they saw the choke finish and everything, so, yeah, I like Australia a lot for the fight, you know, they're good.
Yeah. I saw a whole card in Australia one time on a feed for some reason. It was like an internet feed. It was a pretty good show. And actually, one of the guys fought Chris Lytle not too long ago, who was on at Ebersol.
Uh-huh.
The first time I saw him. And he was throwing punches to the leg, like the thigh area, like for a Charlie horse. But I'd never seen another
dude.
And I was landing it.
Wow.
You know, weird angles, coming up to the side, you know, doing the bob and weave, and then just coming in and slamming a left hook or a right hook to the thigh. And I always
thought
it's kind of intriguing. I don't know if that's illegal in the UFC or ending that or what, but he was doing that down in Australia.
Wow. Yeah, I've seen that before. I'll do that when I'm clinched up with somebody. Like, I'll punch their leg every once in a while, but yeah, I usually lay kick.
Yeah.
As an efficient way to damage the leg where you're standing up, but I mean,
think about how many times you're in a clinch.
You can come out and use it.
You know, and you got nothing
else. What's that?
You think about how many times you're in a clinch and you got nothing else, you know. Nobody does that, so nobody thinks anything in.
Well, yeah. Punch them in the leg. It kills the legs and they can't move, so who knows, it might work.
I keep thinking I should try to, you know, at least train in MMA. I've done a lot of boxing and wrestling, so I could probably
do that, but
I'm a little late. I'm in my 30s. I wouldn't want to get started.
You would?
I'm about 34, so.
Too late.
MMA.
Yeah, right. Might be able to get one in there. Just do one before you die.
Right. Hey. That's a good attitude. I'll try anything once.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, what
there's
do
a lot
you,
of worse things for you.
Yeah, what do you personally enjoy most about mixed martial arts?
Honestly, what I like is about the risk, the risk, even the reward, and the ups and the downs make it like super exciting. If you win a fight, you're on top of the world. You are the most amazing guy ever, right? You win a fight, you just beat somebody, you're in front of a crowd for your friends or whatever, you're still on top of the world. Well, on the other hand, you're down in the dumps, you feel like crap, you just got beat up in front of your friends and family, and you look like an a-hole, you know? So that anticipation of the feelings coming about makes that the sport so exciting. There's nothing that compares to this. You know what I mean? Like, if you win, your career boosts, you feel good about yourself. You lose, the complete opposite. Like, there's a potential 15 minutes, if it's a, you know, a normal fight, of, it'll determine whether you feel good or you feel bad. So, I mean, I think that's the best thing about it. And also, I think fighting is one of those activities that has been going on for, you know, since the beginning of time. And it's the way, you know, we express our dominance and express ourselves as men. And I feel like I'm very fortunate to, you know, express myself in a pretty pure form of, combat, you know, mixed martial arts. Because, I don't know, it's pure to me. I mean, not very pure. You legally can't fight anymore. There's a lot of consequences to it. And I'm fortunate that I can do it on a stage and get paid for it and do my thing. And then, you know, again, that anticipation and excitement you get from it, it just, you can't put anything close to that. You can't compare anything to that feeling. Nothing else compares.
Yeah. Definitely relate, you know, just from boxing in college and having that big win here and there, yeah, it means a lot. And especially, you know, it's just such a brutal sport either way, you know. There's been kind of mixed results as far as, you know, exactly how dangerous MMA is compared to boxing, but, you know, there's different types of injuries, like in MMA you get more percussions per capita, and in boxing it seems to be more long-term effects from, you know, the chin and all that kind of stuff, but
absolutely,
you know, when you get in there and you put yourself at risk like that, people just automatically give you so much respect, even if you have a losing record. It doesn't matter, you get in there and you do it, so it's important.
Yeah, for the most part, fans are pretty good, and they respect you for being in there.
Mm-hmm. And what's your ultimate goal in the sport?
You know, I kind of want to ride the horse and see how far this horse takes me, you know, ride until it dies out in the desert. But, I mean, honestly, like, I would love to make it easy, and I'd really like a paycheck one of these days, you know. I'm sick of, worrying about rent and worrying at my car might break down or whatever, you know. So ultimately, I'd love to get paid. I think in the very end, I would like to, you know, be somewhere in the community, whether coaching or owning a gym or, you know, maybe promoting or something. You know, I want to give back to the sport in one way or another. You know, I want to be a part of it and profit off of it eventually, you know, and from the other side of things. But I feel like I'm a natural born coach. I've been taking a leadership role in whatever team I've been a part of. So I think I'd be, and I'm instructing right now at Mandalay's gym. You know, in various classes, I'll take over people. Right, currently I got a once a week I'm doing a beginner's jiu-jitsu class, and you know, I love to teach. I love to give back. So hopefully one day when it's all done, I'll do that. But until then, I just want to see how far I can go. I want to go to the UFC and, you know, make a check.
Right.
If not, see some other big organization that's going to, you know, push me and paid. I just want to see, you know, have good experiences. Basically, at the end of the day, in the game of life, I just want really cool stories to tell my grandchildren, you know, and that's pretty much all I'm living for right now, you know. And after that, you know, who knows.
Now, what would you say is the most important thing that you do to get ready for a fight?
The most important thing is to have your head right, honestly. Like, you know, if your head's not right, you're not going to be good. You know, like, I mean, obviously you want to have good strength. I always have good strength, good conditioning. You know, you want your condition, you want to spar a lot, be sharp. You want your head to be right, you know. You want your head and your emotional state, you know, because your body has three ways of level stress. You know, you have mental stress, you have emotional stress, you have physical stress. Well, you can't handle so much physical stress if you're emotionally and mentally stressed out. So I try to keep my stress to a minimum. And, you know, if my life is going right, you know, I try to keep everything going nice and square, nice and good. I need to be feeling good and happy. And, you know, once my head's right, you know, I'm unstoppable. You know what I mean? I think when a lot of people lose a fight, you know, their head, you know, an even match or somewhat even match, you know, as long as it's not super lopsided, you know, it's because your head. And it isn't because of just the day. It leads up from months before, you know, getting ready for that fight. You weren't there mentally. If you don't believe in yourself and you aren't positive and you aren't, you know, thinking right, you're going to lose that fight, you know. So I think mentally is the most important thing to get prepared.
That's interesting. You mentioned that. We were talking earlier about Diaz testing positive for marijuana after he lost the last fight.
What's that?
Nick Diaz tested positive for marijuana. So, I mean, it was kind of right along those lines.
Yeah.
In the opposite direction. His head was not right.
And, you know, honestly, like, if that's what makes him happy and that's what makes him feel good and perform better, it's probably why he was doing that, you know. I mean, honestly, but unfortunately that's illegal as a sport, so. So whatever, you know.
He's from California. I'm sure you can get a card if you want.
Yeah, it's legal there. Cool. Doctor told me my back. There, yeah.
Tony, you're going to say something.
I know we were just talking about, like, mental preparation and, you know, you know, just getting yourself mentally prepared to, you know, to fight. I know from years doing it in the boxing game, probably the year that I had the most trouble, I was doing great in 96 for a while. I was getting ready for the regional finals, the regional championship, and the coach was forcing me into a different weight class. And that was just wreaking havoc. You know, I wasn't speaking to half my team at the time. I was working my ass off. I was so mad about it. But I came angry. I didn't come in focused. Then I was starting to have some problems with my right knee playing football a couple of years prior. Took a shot, you know, a helmet on the knee, and it started calcifying over the bone to kind of protect where it was. And I was having problems. And that summer, I had a session in Philadelphia where me was literally gone, and I couldn't move. And I'm in there with a professional who's pretty good on light heavyweight, and he was tanning my hide, and he was mercifully, and I couldn't move. And then I was getting real fine, and you know, like almost like waving him on, you know, watching Timmy Rock moves. I'm waving him on. I'm taking his beating. And when I got out of the ring, they had to help me out. I went in surgery, and then I wanted to come back in 8 weeks. They said, my original diagnosis was, in 8 weeks, you should be able to train again. In 8 weeks, I'm at the gym begging to let me car. And they're like, no, you know, you're still rehabbing, you know. It was a lot worse than we thought. I had a fight. I actually did well in my first fight back. But after that, it was like I was never fully confident in conditioning because I couldn't run and I couldn't do the cardiovascular like I liked. And it was like every fight was, you know, is my knee going to hold up? And what really angered me again, which got me out of focus, was I had a teammate of mine, and he and I never got along because we were like just complete opposites and we didn't really have time for each other. And he was supposed to play it 1 week, and the weekend before, banged up pretty good by a guy 2 weight classes bigger than me. I looked real bad. And so they went this weekend. And then this guy was on the card, and he was like, oh, coach, you might. And I think it as an insult to me, but maybe he did. He's like, coach, my knee's really been bothering me. I really don't think I should fight. So they put me in as a substitute. So now I'm going there. I can barely still walk. I had my nose busted the week before, my mouth cut open. And now I'm going down to Richmond, Virginia to fight again another guy 2 weight classes above me. And he hit me in the mouth so hard that he shredded my upper lip, the whole upper lip. I could hold the spurting blood out. And then we had the way back, and the mouth was cut the week before. And I'm like, yeah, coach, and don't you think so-and-so threw the bullshit about bitching about his knee? And you put me on the card only a few months after I had my whole, like, hip, like, part of the bone chipped off? Oh, yeah, that was a bad mistake, wasn't it? Yeah, no shit. But that whole year, I wasn't focused. And that's exactly, you know, what we were saying. It's like, if you're going in there and your mind is not focused on the task at hand and confidence in your conditioning and your abilities... I was an All-American that year. That was the worst year I ever fought.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
And Dave, is there anybody out there that that you'd like to watch a lot of, a favorite fighter, or are there a few fighters that you like to try to pick things up from, or just, you know, just like to watch personally?
I mean, obviously, Vanderlei Silva has been one of my idols for a long time. I'm training at his gym right now, and I've always watched him because he always came out with such a bulldog attitude, just heart, and came in and just, like, really crushed it, you know? Like, he's just, you know, just a mean... He comes in with just a different attitude. Then off the octagon, he's the nicest guy you'll ever meet, you know? And that's what I want to be. You know, I want to be a guy who can get in there, get after it, you know, kick some ass, and then get outside the octagon and, you know, be a normal dude. and I want to be better than a normal dude. I want to get back. So a guy like Vanderlei Silva, I really look up to. You know, and there's other guys in the sport, but he's probably the biggest one right now. You know, still. So there's a small guy that I like to watch. Different guys for different reasons, but I mean, all in all, I think that's the biggest base model I could look up to as a fighter, and I always have, you know.
What do you do outside the sport?
Actually, I had a hockey game last night. I just joined a little hockey league. I played ever since I was first grade, so that was nice to blow off some steam and get somewhere beside a fight gym and do that. I'll go hiking or, you know, or do something outdoors. Oh. It was always good. I mean, back home, I was hunting and fishing a lot. And, you know, I don't get caught up in that Vegas scene too much. It's not for me. So training, and I love training and lifting. Like when I get done with a fire, instead of, like, training in the males with weights for a couple of weeks, because that's fun to me, and then, you know, get back on the horse and get after it, you know.
You gotta go out to Red Rock if you like hiking in Vegas. You been out there?
Yeah, Red Rock's gorgeous now. Yeah, it's gorgeous out there. I haven't been out there as much as I should, but it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it is. There's a...
I'd like to type in a comment right here, Rich. At the beginning of the show tonight, you asked me what I was doing. I was fixing my cable so I could be Philadelphia Flyers NHL hockey game on. You said, what does hockey have to do with Fight News Unlimited? Exactly. I was preparing for our guest. Thank you very much, Rich.
Yeah, I play a little floor hockey in gyms, but I was violent when I played.
Yeah.
I got stabbed one time because I got checked into a doorway. And I turned around and
Hit
in the face right away without even, you know, asking who did it. It was just the first person that pushed into me. Turned around and wailed him. And the gym teacher was just reading the paper. I had this kid on the ground and pounded him. And they had to rip me off him. And then I had to go to the hospital and get stitches. It was bleeding bad, but I just got checked right into the door. That was bad. But I didn't play much ice hockey. I wasn't a very good skater.
Yeah, that's a big part of it, the skating.
So what position do you play in hockey?
Pardon?
What position do you play in hockey?
I grew up playing forward, but now I play anything. I kind of like defense because I don't have to skate as much, you know. I like to play and hand the puck to somebody who wants to go. Because, like yesterday, I trained for 3 hours that morning, and then that night when I played hockey game, my body was all seized up. I just take about 800 milligrams of ibuprofen to get moving again. So, you know, I'll play defense. I'll hang back a little bit, you know, try to set somebody else up for a goal. Although I scored one last night. It was good. Get that shit upper shelf.
Woo! Nice.
You know, grab a mama, keep the peanut butter. Top shelf.
And what would you say is your best moment in the sport so far?
My best moment in this sport, you know, honestly, this last fight when I won that belt, you know, I've always wanted to, you know, be a champion in something. So, you know, I've always been coming up short, and, you know, I fought for this title, and I won it. So I'm pretty pumped from that. So, honestly, I think that my recent fight was my best moment. You know, I got that belt, and I brought it home to the gym. It was the first professional belt brought home to Vanderlei Silva's gym. So I was really, really, you know, happy to bring that home. And then right after that, we had another guy win our first amateur belt. So it was really good. I think I put pictures of it on our website, wanfightteam.com, if you ever want to check it out.
So you're one of the new guys to the gym, and you're bringing in all the hardware?
Yeah, well, the gym's a really new gym. We're only about 3 years old, you know, so... you know, I mean, we got a couple guys in Bellator, we got a guy in the UFC, but I was one of the guys that happened to win a belt since, you know, training there. So it's good to bring one home.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, anybody you want to shout out to or say hello to out there?
Absolutely. Dog Boxer Gear Management and Dog Boxer Gear and Apparel. We got a merchstore.com is where you can buy it, but look up Dog Boxer. Nature of the Beast, www.notbmma.com. They have gear and apparel. They sponsor me right at the beginning. Dog Boxer's been hooking me this later on now. WantFightTeam.com. Check out our gym. We're in Las Vegas, Nevada, right off the strip. If you're going to want to come in and check out our gym, you're more than welcome. WAND FIGHTTEAM, WANDFIGHTTEAM.com. Of course, check me out on Twitter, Mazany MMA, MAZANY MMA. Look me up on Twitter, Dave Mazany, Mazany MMA. Also look me up on Facebook, and yeah, check me out. That's pretty much it.
We're going to ask you, too, how'd you get the nickname the Pain Train?
The Pain Train. Actually, it was pretty funny. Look up Terry Tate, Office Linebacker, the Reebok commercial. There's a part with Terry Tate. I don't know. You'll have to look up on YouTube. This guy goes around tackling all the people in the office.
I know exactly what you're talking about. That was one of my favorite Super Bowl commercials ever.
Freaking awesome, right? Yeah, and so the part where he's like, the pain train's coming, right? Because the guy put the can in the trash can instead of the recycle drawer. And then when I was running track, I used to puke all the time. So people would be like, oh, my God, the pain train is puking. And so they follow me around and want to puke and, like, harass me.
Yeah.
So then it came from track, and it translated over to MMA. So that's it.
That's awesome.
Cool, man.
So do you take people down in the cage like Terry Tate in The Office?
That's the plan. I want to take them down and pound them like Terry Tate. Bring him a pain train and give it to him, you know? Yeah. That's the plan, of course.
Well, we'll definitely keep an eye on you and keep in touch. Have your people send us all your news and all that stuff, and we'll keep everybody posted. And it's great talking to you.
Sounds good, brother. Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And have fun in Australia.
All right, man. I will. Down under.
On the Bobby for us.
Yeah, I will.
All right, buddy.
All right, later, guys.
You too. Thanks
all. All right, see you later.
See you. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. So, there you go. That's Dave Mazany, I think. Mazany, that's how we pronounce it. All right, Mike Brown is missing in action. He's on a super secret mission from the government. He's a Navy SEAL in his part time. I don't know. But I just got the email. It's probably not going to happen with Mike Brown tonight. I'll have to figure out another time to reschedule that one. Yeah, right. We got about maybe 50 minutes to kill here. If we want to do a full show, or we could just call it quits right now. Say goodnight, Irene. The website, I don't know what the hell is going on. I got some issues with the columns or whatever in the MySQL. It's like a nightmare. You can keep shutting it down. Now, I've got about 20 posts that should be up, and they're all logged in to my email, because I can't add a post today. But I'm working on it. We're going to try to figure it out. They keep giving me some instructions here and there. It's not my cup of tea. I just like the design, but apparently I got too many people looking for too many things on my website. I got like 2,000 pages worth of what they call tags. And I guess that's what's really killing me. So I've been going through those, trying to eliminate the ones that we don't need. So look for some updates later on tonight or tomorrow morning. But anyway. What else?
Well, Rich, I don't know if I mentioned it last week in the show, but well, I'm entering a new relationship this weekend.
Really? What's going on?
Yep. I am dumping my first love of almost 12 years, and I'm moving on to one with that's younger, in better shape, and does more things.
Really?
Yeah. Didn't hear about it, did you, Rich?
No, I didn't.
Yep, I bought a new car.
I bought a new piece of equipment, actually, last night. The wood splitter.
I was joking around about a week or two ago when I was first, you know, talking about, you know, getting the one. I was checking out some websites and everything, and I wrote it on there. I said, you know, we went on our first date March 3rd of 2000. We've been together years almost. We've had our ups and we've had our up times, we've had our down times, just like all relationships do. But I think it's time to move on. I said, you know, I found someone younger, better, you know, in better shape, has to offer. I said, yep, get a new car, people. My one friend goes, and he goes, I know you weren't talking to that girl. And I said, yeah. I said, I had a car. I had a car for 12 years, a heavy bag for 10 years. So don't come around telling me I have a problem with commitment.
Wow.
So, I'm getting the one that'll be, different. You know, a lot of good memories of this one, but, you know, I'm improving some miles, and I got, you know, I know I got repairs that I have to do on it, and it's not worth it. You know, time to get modern. 12 years ago when I had inherited my mom's Cherokee when I got out of college, and, you know, it was an 88, and, you know, I had it for, like, about a year and a half, and I was always joking around. I was like, you know, man, when I was getting this new one in 2000, I was like, I'm getting power windows. I'm getting power locks. I'm getting air conditioned, and I'm getting a cassette player. I said, I'm going modern, bitches. Now I'm test driving this one like last week, and I'm like, oh my god, it's all these digital things, and some of the it has like voice activated synced with your cell phone. I'm like, well, what does that mean? It's just, well, you can say call Rich, and it would dial Rich. And I'm like, shit. I said, when I bought my car, I didn't even have a cell phone.
Yeah, they did, but they were the size of a brick.
Yeah. Oh, I remember it was funny. When I used to do a lot of training down in South Philly, my dad had a bag phone in his car. A fucking bag phone. You have to, like, plug into the lighter.
In the documentary they had on the ESPN Classic all the time.
Very helpful. Well, yeah, my dad, he was in the back, and then, like, we'd be leaving the gym, and he'd be like, all right, you know, call home. Let your mother know we're on our way home. We could never get reception. We'd be down in South Philly, so it's not like, you know, you're in, like, the boondock here. You're, like, literally in South Philly, about to get on, you know, the highway, and I could never get a signal. I'm like, dad, I hate your phone. He's like, you think this is a great phone? I'm like, yeah, it's a piece of shit. So, like, that was, like, a wild good. So anytime he has trouble with his cell phone now, he's like, damn it, I want my dad's phone back. Get me my iPhone.
Yeah, right. Well, we were supposed to go over to UFC 143, so we talked about Carlos Condit beating Nick Diaz by unanimous decision there, 5 rounds. In the main event, we had Roy Nelson go down to unanimous decision to Fabricio Verdum, who split him open pretty good with some knees. And Roy hung in there like always. He's a little lighter. It looked a little different, but, you know, same old style. Tries to go in there and slug to the end. And he has an iron chin, of course. Doesn't go down, but, man, he can take a lot of punishments. And you know, I think it's just for the thrill factor. People like watching him, so he sticks around. But I like to see him do a little better. And he can get that treatment. kind of a surprise fight. We had Josh Koscheck win over our former guest, Mike Pierce, by split decision. We had Renan Pagado beat Scott Jorgensen by unanimous decision. Ed Herman beat Clifford Starks by rear naked choke. Dustin Poirier beat Max Holloway by triangle armbar. It was a pretty nasty submission. He had a triangle choke and an armbar at the same time. So it was one or the other that was going to separate a shoulder or an elbow. The guy didn't tap. In a real wild fight, Alex Bruce Lee Caceres put not a pretty decent fight, but Edwin Figueroa got the split decision. Caceres kept going for the rear naked choke. Bruce Leroy. He just couldn't figure out something different, but he just kept going for the rear naked choke, and Figueroa always had some kind of a defense or a block for him. And, since being on the Ultimate Fighter, this kid, Bruce Leroy, can't seem to win a fight. At least not decisively. It's like on the lock or nothing. Matt Brown, I don't think he's any relation to our guest we were supposed to have tonight, Mike Brown, but he won over Chris Cope by TKO, second round. Matt Riddle beats Henry Martinez by split decision. Rafael Natal beat Michael Kuiper by decision. And finally, Stephen Thompson beat Daniel Stitchin by KO head kick in round one. We could keep getting bad news about deaths in boxing. Guy that was on the Contender got killed this week.
Yeah, from Massachusetts. I heard about that. Jeff Frazier.
Jeff Frazier. We have Joe Frazier already gone. Now we have Jeff Frazier. But it's F-R-A-D-A. Nicknamed the Hellraiser, ironically. Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of people don't realize the circumstances, probably, but with this it being Haverhill, I've probably never been there on the train, but I've been on the commuter rail, which is probably what he was on, and I know that there are sections of that track where you can walk right across, you know, and not see anything coming, you know, because if it's on an angle, and the sun's in your face or something, you can get disoriented, especially if you're on the phone. But usually, with those crosswalks, you know, it's at a stop, so it's hard to believe that the guy could have get hit by a train going 35 miles an hour. And I didn't see him, but it sucks because, like, he wasn't boxing anymore, but he was a trainer and big-time family man. You know, good dude. He was, you know, using his fame for good things. He was on the Contender, and 34 years old, right by a train. And the worst thing is, I mean, imagine the person it is who he was talking to. You know, that person's...
Yeah, right, I know.
That's gonna suck. I killed him. anyway, yeah, it's like, they had some good tributes on the, Friday night fights too to both Goody Petronelli and Angelo Dundee. Speaking of deaths in boxing. And then there was another guy, a referee or something. So it was like
Wayne Kelly.
Dropping like flies.
Wayne Kelly was I think was in the referee of the first Bo Delata fight.
Yeah. Crazy, crazy stuff.
Well, last week was definitely a lot of, you know, it was the deaths of both of those gentlemen happened, you know, with each other. We had to, you know, eulogize them both pretty much. And then, of course, I had to eulogize a friend of mine from Philadelphia, Iron Van Van Jones. So it was tough last week. It definitely was.
Yeah. Well, I don't really have all that much left. What do we got for boxing coming up this week? Do you know?
Well, we were going to have the Alberto Ortiz rematch this week. With Alberto injured in his bicep, that got pushed back to, I think, the month of May or June, maybe. I was already talking to a few people, you know, people are already trying to get my opinions on, you know, what I think about the Alberto, Floyd Mayweather, and Pacquiao and Timothy Bradley. That'll be an interesting fight. And part of it is he also is a very he's a very aggressive type fighter. He does have a good pop in his hand, but he also leads a lot with his head. So when you take him a fighter like Bradley and you put him in a very straightforward fighter like a Manny Pacquiao, you're looking at a potential issue with a lot of headbutts in there. And, I mean, that could really change the complexion of a fight. A guy gets cut, you clash heads, that hurts. That can definitely, have you seeing stars. So there's a possibility of, an accidental clash of heads really, giving Pacquiao a lot more difficulties, than other opponents have. With Cotto and Mayweather, you have the situation where Cotto, as I was joking around with, the manager at my office, because I think they all know how much I can't stand it there. I'll always go on and, I went to him last week and I said to him, I'm like, yeah, got a call from Miguel Cotto's camp. They want me to be his lead trainer for this fight. And he knew I was joking, but he's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. I said, because if he puts me in there, he'll beat Mayweather. And not only will he beat him, he'll knock him out. And he's like, and I'm like, oh, here's one. And I said, like, going through his fight strategies and, little, strategical ideas here. And I'm like, he does that. I'm like, he will win the fight. And the guy's looking at me like, did they really contact you? Of course, all bullshit. I mean, who the hell am I, right? Miguel Cotto, he could get a manual. He was with a manual steward. They decided not to work with each other anymore. But, I mean, you're talking to the guy. He could get, the steward to the Freddie Roaches or the guys like that, and he's going to call me, of all people. But it was just funny the way I had the guy, bluff like that.
Hey, you are the boxing rain man.
I am.
You have an encyclopedic knowledge of
I do.
Science. Oh, boy. I'm having internal server errors. I don't know what's going on. My site is crumbling. I'm trying to fix it. It's driving me nuts. All this bullshit. But anyway, I will have it fixed by the end of the weekend, and we will be back. We might have to move up to another server, but I'm trying to hang on for another week to see if I can fix it and keep running on this server because it's cheaper. But I might have to upgrade big time. Anyway, I don't really have much left. That's about it for me. Do you have any other commentary or news flashes?
I do. Just saying everybody out there, just keep on playing game. Keep tuning in every week. You never know who will go on or what good things we'll have to say.
Well, next week we have actually a very exciting show. We have a round table of female referees of MMA fights. Reached out to the first female referee of MMA, Kim Wilson. And she's going to be with two other female referees. And I said, we'd like to have you on the show. She said, well, I'll be with these two people this night, next week, next Thursday night. So I said, why don't we do a round table, kind of like the boxing versus MMA debate days.
Yeah.
And we'll get them all on the phone. So that's next week. And so we're going to try to actually, she wants the questions ahead of time too, so if you can think of any questions you're going to ask, shoot them over to me. But, you know, just think of female referees and what would you want to ask them? Even though, you know, you're not a big MMA buff. I know you surprise us sometimes. Anyway, that's it, folks. I think we're going to sign off about a half an hour early here and call it a night, call it an evening. Until next week when we have this big round table, we'll have a lot of publicity about it leading up to it, so you'll know exactly when it's going down. But basically next week, right here at 8:30, we're going to have some famous female referees in the mix, talking about mixed martial arts. And thanks for stopping by. Thanks for listening. DrinkCocaine.com. Check them out. Big sponsor. And bear with us on the website. If it's down, it's being worked on. We're gonna get it back online. Come hell or high water.
Absolutely, man. Well, for next week, you know, I'm gonna get ready to fill out a few things, get some paperwork ready for Saturday when I pick my car up, and gotta get me a new license plate.
Nice. Good luck with that.
Yeah. I had a really nice one that they airbrushed for me back in 2000, right about a mile and a half. Actually, it was not even really a mile from where I grew up. They used to jog there all the time, and wanted to custom airbrush. So I had a really nice airbrush license plate. I had a black car, so it was a red license plate with a pair of black gloves on. It looked great, but then... that I was in a car accident back in 2006. It got damaged. And I never got the fender repaired, and I never got a new license plate. So now that I'm getting a new vehicle, I think it's time for a new plate. What do you think?
Yeah, for sure.
Get a black car. Should I do the red license plate with the black gloves again?
Yeah, why not?
That's pretty good.
All right, bud. Well... thanks for joining us this fine evening from Philadelphia. And we'll talk to you next week. We'll have it together.
We will. All right. Well, until then, until next week, have a good week. We'll watch some fights, and we'll discuss it all on the download.
All right, dear Jerky. Have a good night.
It was out.
Adios. Hasta la vista. End of show.